Going to come around the Word of God, and it's great to have Paulette sharing with us this morning. So, Paulette, let's give her a big round of applause. Let's just get these mics right.
Quite short. I've got quite a loud voice anyway, but I think maybe we'll stick to the mic. Thank you. Good morning, church. Whew. This is scary. This is really scary. Way out of my comfort zone. Before I begin, let's pray. And I believe this morning that God has something to lay on each one of our hearts. So let us pray, and in our prayer, it'll be about making room. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We bless your holy name. Speak to us. Open our ears. Open our hearts. Deposit in each one of us today something unique, something just for them. As we make room. As we make room for you, do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. Take over. Take control. Move in a way that is powerful, is mighty, is lovingly. Move in a way that speaks to our hearts. And we ask this. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Ooh. Ooh, I'm going to fall over. Okay. Well, when Jill asked me to share, am I too loud? Sounds if I'm coming back. When Jill asked me to share, the first thing I did was to pick myself up off the floor. I was literally floored, literally floored with panic. And then I began to seek the Lord because I knew that I couldn't do it. And I couldn't do it without him and in my strength. So I sought the Lord. And I heard him speak very clearly. And this is what the Lord said. Invisible. Made visible. Invisible, made visible. And then he whispered the name Hagar. So we're going to look at the story. I'm sure we all know the story of Hagar. But we're going to look at that story and find out, what is this invisible, made visible, that God wants us to catch hold of today? That's what we're going to do. So in preparing for this, I found myself, as a mother, reminiscing about all my days in the school playground. Remember mums, and actually and dads and grandmas and aunts and everybody else, where we'd do the school runs, we'll drop off and pick up, and then we'd have the conversations in the playground. And many, many times, I would be addressed as, so this is how it would, this would, the address would be. Hi, are you Amelia's mum? Oh, hello. Are you Mr. Matthew's mum. Oh, you must be Jordan's mum. These are my children. No. Hello, Paulette. How are you? No. I was associated with my children. I was invisible, but my children were very visible. But I was known as a mum. The mum of, the mum of, the mum of. But they didn't see me. They didn't see me. They didn't see Paulette. And so often that's the case, isn't it? We're associated with something. There's no name. It's purely by association. Purely by association. Does that sound familiar? But do you know, the very sad thing is that I found myself doing exactly the same thing. Oh, isn't that sad? I did exactly the same thing. I didn't get time to know the person. I knew about their child, but I didn't know about them. They were really invisible to me. So let's look at Hagar and see where I'm going with this. Hagar was an Egyptian slave. And to be precise, she was the slave or maidservant of Sarai, the wife of Abram. And we know later in the Bible that God changed their name to Sarah and Abraham. So if I go between Sarah or Sarah or Abram and Abraham, please forgive me. Hagar's story can be found in Genesis 16, 1 to 15, and also Genesis 21, 8 to 20. But I want to focus on the first part of her story in Genesis 16. But we need to get the context for all of this. And we have to go back to Genesis 15, and where we see that God gave Abraham an amazing promise. And it says, look up to the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. God promised Abraham that he would have descendants uncountable. And in verse 20 of Genesis 15, we read, and Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. So this is our setting before Hagar now comes on the scene. Abraham's been promised this by God. Now, fast forward to Genesis 16. Abraham is 75 years old. Sarah is in her 60s. And let's read Genesis 16, 1 to 3. We're going to read. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. Sarah said to Abraham, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abraham agreed with Sarah's proposal. So Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian slave, and gave her to Abraham as a wife. This happened 10 years after they settled in the land of Canaan. Sarah made a decision that would change the course of all their lives. She was barren. It was 10 years later, and she was still barren. She wanted a child. She wanted a child. She was desperate for a child. She wanted to give her husband a child. So she gave her servant to Abraham for the sole purpose of producing a child. And what did Abraham say? Husband, say, what did Abraham say? Yes, okay. Yeah, good idea. Great. Didn't argue. Says, yeah, let's go with it. Now, in Sarah's defense, this type of arrangement would not have been uncommon. It was a socially acceptable practice that we have to bear that in mind. So, that's what happens. What could possibly go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? Let's read verse 4. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarai with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abram, "This is all your fault. You did this. It was your idea. You did this." And she said, "I put my servant in your arms, but you did this. But now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me. Who's wrong? Who's wrong? The Lord will show who's wrong, me or you." Hagar began to treat Sarah with contempt. She was pregnant. Sarah was barren. And as Sarah mistreated Hagar, Abraham said to Sarah, "Look, she is your servant. So deal with her as you see fit." Do with her, he said, as you see fit. He gave her the green light to do what she felt was right. And Sarah treated Hagar harshly. So harshly that she ran away. She ran away. She ran away. Hagar, slave girl, now pregnant, 18 years of age, she runs away. She runs away into the desert. As a slave, Hagar was used to feeling invisible. That is until her mistress wanted something. Up until then, she had no name. She was identified as the slave, the maidservant. She was identified in her position as a slave, not who she was, not her name. Imagine being forced into something and then being punished harshly by the very person who placed you in that position. She runs. She couldn't take it anymore. She runs afraid. She runs alone in the desert. She cries in the desert. Just picture this scene, 18-year-old, pregnant. Nobody cares for her. Nobody knows. She runs. She cries. And here's where the story takes a beautiful turn. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road. And the angel said to her, "Hagar, Sarai's servant." The angel of the Lord calls her by name. A servant girl fleeing, desperate, not knowing where to go, not knowing who's out there for her. But the angel of the Lord appears to Hagar. She is not alone. She ran into desert thinking that she was alone, but she's not alone. Do you know, this is the very first time in the Bible that the angel of the Lord appears to anyone. And the angel of the Lord appears to Hagar, the invisible one. In the middle of the desert, God himself found Hagar. God himself. Hagar wasn't looking for God. She was just looking for a means of escape. That's what she was looking for. But God was looking for her. God was searching for Hagar. Not the slave. He was searching for Hagar, his precious daughter. And he found her in her pain. He found her in her shame. And he calls her by name. Isn't it beautiful when the Lord calls you by name? Have you ever prayed and sat in silence and then heard the Lord just whisper your name? It's one of the most beautiful things when he just whispers in your spirit. That's what he did. God finds us in the desert, in our grief, in our pain, in our hurts, in our state of invisibility. He took time to find Hagar because she was important to him. She was loved by him. She was carrying a legacy. There was destiny over her. She might not have been important to anybody else, but she was precious to God. She was precious to God. We are all precious to God. Whether we're seen or unseen, we are all precious to God. But the Lord said to Hagar in verse 9, the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. Not quite what she was expecting to hear. Not quite what we would expect to hear. I can imagine this conversation. But that's where I'm running from. That's where I'm escaping from. I'm going to Egypt, to where I'm familiar with, where people know me. That's where I'm going. I can't go back. I can't go back. I can't go back. And you wonder why? Don't you wonder why God would say go back? But you know the answer is found in verse 10. And it says, I will give you more descendants than you can count. He says to Hagar, go back, and I will increase your descendants. You will have a son. It goes on to say that you will have a son. God promised to bless her in such a way she would become a descendant of a nation too numerous to account. The promise that was made to Abraham back in Genesis is made to a slave, a runaway slave. The same promise. God says to her, go back. I have a plan, a purpose for you. Trust me. Stand on my promise. And the Lord says to her, your son You are to name your son Ishmael. Well, the name Ishmael means God hears. God hears. But on this occasion, what did God hear? What did he hear? He said, "For the Lord has heard your cry of distress." She wasn't praying some long, convoluted prayers. She was crying. She was in distress. She was in distress. And that's what the Lord heard. Her distress, her misery, her anguish. God hears every single breaking heart. He hears our cries. He hears our desperation. He hears our disappointments. The Lord hears. Not only did he find her in the desert, but he heard her cries. And his ears are attentive to the cries of his people, of his people. Amen. And the Lord said, why did he say, name him Ishmael? God hears. And I believe what the Lord was saying to her is, every time you call your son's name, every time you see your son, you will know that I hear you. I hear you. Every time you call his name, every time you see him, you will hear. You will know that I hear you. And then the Lord goes on to talk about what the son, Ishmael, is going to be like. And he says that Ishmael will be like an untamed, it will be untamed as a wild donkey. Why would the Lord say that? But you know something, I read somewhere and it says that in the Bible, a wild donkey can never be enslaved. God was saying in the most incredible language, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you descendants that can not count, too numerous to count. Too numerous to count. But they will not be defined by slavery. This untamed wild donkey was saying to her, Hagar, through Ishmael, your descendants will not be defined by slavery. This is freedom for you, freedom for people ought to come. You are going to be the founder of people who are going to be free. Free. Hagar, the Egyptian girl, grew up in a culture where the gods of that time would not notice her in Egypt. And here in the desert, God himself speaks to her. And she responds in such a beautiful way, a unique way. God has found her. God is speaking to her. And you know what she does? She gives God a name. First person in the Bible to give God a name out of her worship. And that name is Elroy. Elroy. And I'll just read what it says here. Therefore, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord. She had spoken to her. Who had spoken to her? She said, "You are the God who sees me." She also said, "Have I truly seen the one who sees me?" So that well was named Beer Lahai-Roi, which means well of the living one who sees me. El Roy, the first person, a slave, the first person to give God this name, El Roy. God gives her that revelation of himself, revelation of himself as the God who sees, El Roy. And I believe this morning God wants us to have that revelation of El Roy, the God who sees. He saw her in the midst of her hurt, her shame, her anger, her bitterness. But it gives her a revelation that she is seen by God. She's heard by God, and she is seen by God. And with this, her perspective changes. Her eyes are open, and she sees the God who sees her. She sees the God who sees her. So often in our situations, we cry out to God to take us out, take us away from this. Lord, it's just too hard. It's just too hard. It's too much to do. I can't do it. But what if God is saying to us in these situations, I want to give you a revelation of myself as the God who sees you? What if God is saying, all you need to know is that I see you? All you need to know in your situation, in your deserts, in your whatever it is, God, El Roy, sees you. He sees you. And in that moment, when she makes that declaration from the revelation, the invisible was made visible. Hagar, the invisible, was seen by God. Visible, the visible. And I believe the Lord is trying to say to us this morning, get the revelation. Catch hold of this revelation that I am bringing you, that I'm giving you. God said to Hagar, I've called you by name. You are mine. I see you. You are mine. You belong to me. And he lovingly, lovingly pours out his heart of compassion on her. God sees us in these times. But what he's saying to us is, in the difficult situations, in the difficult moments, in the middle of our desert experiences, God said to Hagar, do you trust me? Do you trust me? El Roy, the God who sees, says, do you see me and do you trust me? Do you trust me? And I believe the Lord has given us exactly the same revelation this morning. When I sought the Lord, he said to me, God said, and I wrote this down, I'm here for the one. I see the one. Who is the one? Who is the one here this morning? Who is the one here this morning? The one could be the one who's running from things that are just so hard. It could be the mother who is struggling to make ends meet. It could be the single parent who doesn't know where to have no support. It could be the ones in distress. The one could be the ones who are so hidden that nobody sees. The one could be you. In actual fact, the one is you. The one is each and every one of us here. We are the one. And Elroy, the God who sees, says, I see you. He wants you to get hold of this revelation. Elroy sees you. He sees your hurt. He sees every situation. Nothing is hidden from him, and we can't run from him. We can't. There is nowhere that we can go that the Lord's love won't find us. He chases us down. And when he finds us, he says, I see you. I see you this morning. I see you. But for the revelation to take its full effect and for the revelation to be made manifest, it comes with an action. It comes with a response. When God brings a revelation, it comes with a response, an action. Hagar was told to go back. What's God telling you to do this morning? In getting hold of this revelation, Elroy. But you have to say, you have to see the God who sees you. What's stopping you? And God would say to you, if I see you, what's stopping you from seeing me? What situations are we in where we're not clearly seeing God in everything that we do? Are we running so far that we think we can never be found? Are we hiding? Are we hiding from God? What identity are we operating in? And who's placed that identity on us, on each one of us? This revelation that God gives us this morning is for each and every single circumstance that we find ourselves in. But we have to see Elroy. We have to see Elroy. No blinkered eyes. Hagar's eyes were open. So often we go around with our eyes closed, thinking things will work out. And we run from situations where God is actually working in. But we don't see it. We don't see it. And the Lord is saying this morning, my revelation to you this morning, the one, is that I see you. And what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with that revelation? Are you going to see me, the one who sees you? Or are you going to get up, go out that door, and forget all that's been said this morning? This is a revelation from God himself to his church. Amen, amen.
Thank you, Paulette, for sharing your heart with us this morning. Just as we conclude, the song that came to mind, if we could find it, I know it's a bit tricky with all the amount of stuff we wanted to show on there, so mixed it all up, but what was that song we sang? Jesus, Lamb of God, holy is your name. You are my all in all. Yeah, you are my all in all. Yeah. That verse came to mind. And it is important that each of us know that God sees us. Because sometimes you feel that nobody does. But God always does. And do you know the syndrome of being in a crowd and yet you're lonely? Well, praise God. God always sees. God always sees. And so, can't quite think of the verse that I wanted to say on that one without finding it. But I'd like us to pray as we conclude. And not to pray feeling down. Not to pray feeling alone, not to pray feeling neglected or looked over, but to really appreciate God has seen you. And when the Bible says God sees you, that means he knows everything. He knows everything. So he knows your situation, he knows your circumstance, and even more interesting, he knows your character. And how these things affect you. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for this morning, our time together, but rounded off with this word of revelation, of encouragement, that you see us. And when you see us, it means you know everything about us, every circumstance, and our character and how we respond to things. Lord, you see us and you know us. For that, we want to say thank you. Because it means that we can be honest with you because you already see. And it means, Lord, that we have one who we can turn to even when we seem to be outcast on our own. Gracious God, I pray over each and every single person here that you, having seen, will come to their rescue, even as you've done in that story we've heard this morning. And Lord God, you blessed Hagar. So I pray, as you now see, bless each individual in this place. Father, having looked and understood, bless that individual. And Lord God, reveal yourself to them and make them walk out of this place knowing that they are not alone, knowing that you have seen them, and that knowing that you are on their case. And there is no one better to have side by side than God, the living God, the all-powerful God, who sees and knows and has the power to change a situation. Lord, thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.